Live from the podcast studio, this is From Long Distance to Marriage with Rich and Andrea. We're a once long distance couple who closed 5,000 miles of distance and are now happily married.
We talk long distance, marriage and relationships.
Hi everyone, welcome to episode 122 of From Long Distance to Marriage. This week we're going to dive into a listener email that came through to us recently. And there's a lot to dive into. They provided a very long email, which we'll just summarize for you guys. But we know that this is something that a lot of you are going to be going through and want to touch on. And that's kind of deciding who's going to move. Obviously there's a bit more to it than that. But essentially this person got in touch with us. She lives in the United States. Her boyfriend lives in Denmark. They met when he was studying abroad in where she lived. And, you know, never really intended for it to become anything long term. But, you know how long distance plays out. People surprise you. So he's back in Denmark. She's still in the States. They've been back and forth a bit. Obviously, the past year has been challenging with COVID and stuff, but they still have managed to see each other a bit. And yeah, so I guess the plan was that she would move to Denmark. And now she's just feeling maybe a little bit uncertain about that. And not at all about the way she feels about this person, but the enormity of moving to a different country. And I think also she mentions in the email, you know, it's a different culture, a different language. So that's another kind of challenge that if you're moving across the country or from, you know, Canada to Australia, you don't have those language barriers and stuff. So we just want to dive into this a little bit. There were some specific questions that she had for me, which I think I can, you know, tap into some of. Well, I mean, everyone's experience is a bit different, but I can certainly lend my what I felt and what I decided and, you know, my thought process with all this. But yeah, so I think the first thing to touch on is that the decision doesn't have to be final. If you decide to move to where your partner is or vice versa, it should be okay if you say, look, I'm willing to try this, but, you know, I don't know how I'm going to feel in a year or two or 10. And that's fine, you know. And I think she has kind of said to her partner, from what we can kind of get from the email, that, you know, she wants to move there. She absolutely wants to be with him. There's no doubt that she loves him and wants to pursue this. But it scares her moving there. And he's kind of said, you know, of course, I'll do whatever it takes to make it work. I don't want to promise you that, you know, I'll move there or whatever. And it feels very familiar to what the conversations that we had. And
yeah, well, more specifically, she said to him, I think very similar to what we spoke about, that she wants that, she has that question of if she needs to move back, would he be prepared to do that? And his answer seems to be similar to mine, which was like, it's not off the table, but I can't promise anything at the moment. And she said too that he takes promises very seriously. He doesn't make promises that he can't keep. So, you know, on that angle, I think it's good of him. I think it's positive for the relationship that he's not just saying, yeah, of course.
You know, he's not just appeasing her and saying what she wants to hear.
Yeah, and obviously that's very similar to how it was for us. So I think both of them are in the right with it. She's got every entitlement to, look, if I'm gonna move, but what conversations are gonna be on the table if I need to come back?
Yeah.
And then he's in the right and saying, well, you know, kind of cross that bridge when we come to it, sort of thing. So exactly the same as what we had, I think.
Yeah, and I think I can understand. And because I felt the exact same way, you know, when I said, look, I want to do this, I don't know what's going to happen, but just in the back of my mind, I need to know that if one day I decide, oh, I can't live here anymore, either I'm really unhappy or I hate it or I miss my family, that doesn't mean the end of our relationship. And that's really hard to have on your shoulders, that, you know, you're not saying no, but you're not giving me the reassurance that I kind of need in this situation. So then suddenly you feel like for this relationship to work, I have to give everything. And that's really hard, and that shouldn't be put on someone. And I think that, you know, maybe if he hasn't thought about it from that angle, that, you know, he should understand that, oh, so what, if tomorrow for some reason I couldn't leave the country, our relationship's over because you're not willing to give. Like, I'm not saying that's what he's doing, but that can be how it feels when you're the person asking for the reassurance like she is. So, you know, the result of the relationship, you know, if they're ever going to be able to close the distance, should never be on one person. Like, and you know what? You can change your mind. You're allowed to change your mind in life about big things. So if at first it sounded really good and really easy to do, and now suddenly you're a little bit scared and it seems much bigger. Like, it probably is a lot bigger than what it first seems like, you know, in the very early days, and you've met someone, you think, oh yeah, like moving and living in a different country, and Denmark's supposed to be amazing and beautiful. Like, it can seem very exciting, and then the realities start to hit you a little bit later as you get maybe closer to that, or you're starting to look at visas and stuff. It can be a little bit like, ooh, this is real. This isn't just a fairy tale. Like, I'm going to have to actually uproot my entire life.
Yeah, but at the same time, I don't think everyone is as capable as other people as making that move. So if you're in a relationship with someone who couldn't do it or really would struggle, that's just the reality that you have to face.
Yeah.
It may be that it isn't. And equally, it could be that, you know, he could say today, yeah, that's fine, I'll be happy to move to America if I need to. And then he sees what she goes through over, say, a year of hating it and missing everyone and being away. And he says, do you know what? I can't do that. Equally, she might say, I don't want to put you through that. Like, a lot can change on both sides. So you can have the conversation today and he may, in all sincerity, say, yes, I'll be prepared to move to America. And then through seeing how it plays out, or if she was to not like it and it changed her perspective and him doing the same for her, like, it can change on both sides. And yeah, just to reiterate the point, I don't think everyone is as equipped to do it for a number of reasons. You may just be more ingrained at home, you may be closer to your family at home, you may struggle with it. You know, we know people who can't be far from their family and still maintain pretty close distance. You know, some people don't want to be an hour away from their family. The idea of them moving across the world would just be devastating.
Yeah.
And it's hard. I think it's hard for almost everyone. If you come from a healthy, happy family, it's going to be difficult for them. I think there are degrees to it, and some people are just going to have to acknowledge that only one of them is prepared to make that move or capable of making the move. I don't even want to say prepared to, because it sounds like the other person just won't do it. Whereas I'm saying I don't think everyone can do it.
But I also think that can change too. Maybe in the beginning they're not capable of making that move, but as time goes on and you see what your partner's sacrifices and you get to know their family on visits and trips and stuff, you might be able to start imagining it more. And so I think what's really helped me, you know, we're back and forth a lot on if we'll ever move back to America, if we're going to split our time, da 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 da. And do you know what's really helped me stop thinking about that is just like, okay, anything can happen. I know, I mean, it does help that I know from you that obviously there's some kind of conditions around like concerns like healthcare in America and stuff like that, but it's definitely on the table. You know, if I was to say, look, I've done this for a decade, I can't do it anymore, we need to do this, you would be completely...
Well, and I think it's different, you know, when, like you said, we're a decade into marriage.
Yeah.
We've built a life together for 10 years. You're in a different situation. And then equally, someone who is another 10 years further in than us would be another point again.
But I'm saying, like, you wouldn't necessarily... You weren't at that point in the beginning.
No, and part of that's just me changing as I've grown over 10 years. And part of that is as the relationship changes and develops, priorities have to change. Mm-hmm. And what used to be a really big deal becomes less of a big deal.
Yeah. So for me, like, just not worrying so much about what we're going to do in a few years or in 10 years or whatever, or how we're going to split time or da-da-da-da. Like, I kind of just stopped thinking about it. And that's not... Like, I gave up. I just kind of thought to myself, like, okay, we're here right now. We both love our jobs. We have a beautiful house. Like, our life is good quality. I'd like to see my family more. Obviously, I haven't seen my family since the start of the pandemic. But, you know, I think just try not to think so far ahead. Just think for, like, the next year, especially in those early, like, when you're just closing the distance. And, you know, like you were saying before, the guy in this relationship that lives in Denmark, he has every right to say, like, you know, I'm not sure. I can't promise you that, but I'll do whatever it takes to make it work. Like, I would take reassurance from that. I know that the girl that wrote in, she said she struggles with a bit of anxiety. I completely do too. And so I get that. So he's saying, he's giving her reassurance, but it's not the exact words she needs to hear, which I relate to. He's like, well, hold on. Like, that's not exactly what I need from you. But people can't always give you the exact reassurance you need, and that's fair. But so just as he's right to say, I'll do what it takes, but I can't make that specific promise necessarily, she has every right to say, okay, I'm going to come for a year minimum and I'm going to see what I think and take it from there. And so I think, you know, we really worry about finding like an ultimate resolution to the long distance thing. But as we've talked about a lot before, like just because you close the distance doesn't mean it's done. So it might be your family. You guys might be together for a year and then you might decide, actually, like, I can't live in Denmark. So then maybe you'll be long distance again for a few months while he decides, okay, well, maybe I will. Like, just don't try to tackle the whole problem. Like,
No, but equally, if one of you's decided to move, you need to go all in on it.
You do, yeah, absolutely. You need to give it time. But that's what I'm saying. Like, give yourself... Give it time,
but you need to move with the expectation that this is where you now live. If you kind of think, oh, I'll put one toe in, and you know in the back of your mind, you've always got a way out. You can always go back home if you really need to. But I think you need to move with the expectation of, this is my life now. I need to try and get a job here. I need to do everything I can to... integrate with this
yeah, country, and that's why I was saying, like, give yourself a timeline. Like, say you won't know if you like somewhere for 3, 4, 5, 6 months. Like, you need to give it at least a year.
You need to give it at least a year, but you don't want it in the back of your mind that, like, in a year
I'm done. No.
Yeah.
No, you need to say, I'm going for a year minimum. And obviously, maybe sometimes visas will affect how long, you know, that's a different conversation. But no, you need to say, like, no matter what, I am staying for a minimum of a year. And that means 6 months, if you have a big wobble and you want to go home, nope, it hasn't been a year yet. Like, I need to give this time.
And that wobble was like, I mean, even distance aside, we've spoken numerous times about how, even when we got married, things were fine. And then when we moved into our own place of our own, we had a period of a few months where...
It was like a year. It was hard for a year. We didn't
live there for a year.
Yeah, even in the next place, it was hard. Our second flat.
Yeah, we did. But I think the first few months were the worst of it. But... Yeah, that distance may have been a slight factor for you, but you'd been here a little while by then, and we'd lived together before then, but this is when we lived together on our own, in our own place, paid all the bills, and for whatever reason, we just kind of hit this wall of difficulty. Never to the point of we need to get divorced, but...
We didn't even talk about, like, we never walked out of the house, like, it was hard.
It was just regular disagreements and arguments and butting heads. If that was to happen immediately when you land in a new country, it's going to be in your mind, like, oh, shit, what have I done? Is this going to get any better? So, like, all I'm saying is I think that can be very normal, that a period of time in a relationship, it can be, for what feels quite prolonged, difficult. And if that's happening within the first few weeks or months of landing in a new country... It can feel a bit overwhelming. So just be prepared that to your point of make it a minimum of a year, that year may have some times that are very, very trying.
Yeah. And this is not like a, you know, being tit for tat kind of thing, but, you know, if one person can't make the promise, the other person shouldn't have to. And that doesn't, again, that's not for tit for tat. That's just reality. Like, you can go and try, but you don't have to write it, you know, sign your name in blood that I'm going to do this. You have to try and see what works for you. And if it genuinely doesn't, and you've given it a genuine effort, then you discuss what that means for you as a couple. But don't worry so much about having it all figured out right this second. Because when I moved here, the idea kind of was, at the very beginning, like, I'm moving here, we're going to spend our entire lives in England, and that's what it's going to be. And then very quickly, I realized, I don't know if that thought or plan works for me. It might. I don't know. I mean, here we are 10 years later and I haven't left, but I knew, I don't know if that's going to work. And, you know, we discussed that and adjusted it to maybe like, okay, it's open. Someday we might. And then at certain points we've thought more seriously about it. Like, oh yeah, maybe in 2 years. And then, you know, something changes and we don't. But you know, it's not a conversation you're going to have once or twice or thrice in your relationship. You're going to talk about it a lot. And it's not something that you can just nicely decide and tuck away in an envelope and forget about. Like, it's going to come up. There's going to be, you know, discussions, issues. You know, you are going to lose loved ones when you're far away. And I've lost aunts, uncles, grandparents since I've been here and haven't been able to get back for any of the funerals. Part of that was because the border agency had my visa for two of those. I was getting my next visa and I couldn't.
Had your passport?
Yeah, sorry, they had my visa. They had my passport because I was getting a new visa, so I couldn't leave to go home for either of my grandparents' funerals. So, yeah, I don't think that this person is overthinking. I think these are natural concerns, but I don't think you need to worry about figuring them all out right away. Just take it a few steps at a time. Long distance, you can't take one step at a time. You're always going to have to plan and organize and think and debate and figure stuff out, but just don't try and look at the rest of your life all at once, because people don't normally do that. Like, when you pick a job, for instance, you don't think about, like, oh, I'm gonna be in this career for the rest of my life necessarily. Like, you just think, okay, this will work, this is good. And even when you have a relationship that's not long distance, yes, of course you're thinking the rest of your life, but it's different because if you meet someone in the same town, like, you just don't have to think that far ahead, even though you're planning a marriage. Like, it's not the logistic stuff and the, well, I'm gonna have to leave everything I know, but he's not, or he is and I'm not. Like, these things just don't come into play. And I think when long distance isn't part of the picture, we just kind of take things day by day for the most part. We make plans and we have goals, absolutely, but you don't have to think so long term. So try to find a balance between not trying to have all the answers just yet. It's impossible.
It is, yeah. I mean, we've done a whole other episode on deciding who moves, because it's a question we've had before. It's a difficult one, and obviously there's different factors. Some people are moving an hour or two. Some people are moving
continents away. Yeah,
you know, literally the other side of the world. And there are all sorts of different considerations. How easy is it going to be for you to get a job over there? Is one of them. Will your qualifications transfer? If one of you's got really elderly or ill parents, family, that's a valid consideration. To, you know, look, they're probably not going to be here in 6 months. Now's not the time for me to be moving. Cultural differences, religious difference, family issues, and just personal preference. Like, you know, we've got a lot of listeners who are in the LGBT community.
Q
community, and there are generally still countries where they would be at risk.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a no-brainer in that situation. You would think that the safer country is going to be the best option there.
Yeah.
So it's not just about the two individuals. There's all, you know, there's all the surrounding circumstances too. And then the other thing is, we've spoken quite a lot about our experiences and the issues that you face and the things that you couldn't really know about them in advance. So we've done episodes to try and share that experience with people who are going through it now. And you know, basically the questions, the experiences, the issues that we faced that we hadn't considered. And we've got a few episodes on that. And one of them was, so episode 14 was an important one for you, which was the realities of seeing your family after moving away. So that's episode 14. You know, when you're looking at closing the distance, all of your focus is on the relationship, and then the logistics, the legalities of moving in the official way, what's it going to be like to close the distance, to live together, everything else. And it may not be in your mind about what your dynamics can look like with your family and your friends. So, you know, you've said before, you close one distance and you open up another one. You know, so if you come from a family that you want to keep seeing, for just socially, go back for weddings, events, whatever, travel's still going to be required. You're going to still need to go and see them, and then that's going to factor into.
Also in that episode, I talked about kind of your place in your family after you move away, and I think everyone's going to find things slightly different, but I know that I found the first time we went back, I think it was about a year and a half after I'd moved out here, we went back for Christmas. My mom had been out to visit us here once, but other than that, I hadn't seen any family or been home. And it was an adjustment. And again, not everyone may find this, and I'm very close and very slotted in with my family, very much comfortable with my family and who I am and how I'm accepted there. But the first time was weird. You know, it was something like, oh yeah, they're talking about this thing. I wasn't here for that. This maybe get together, a barbecue, a birthday party, or wedding. And, you know, I was a little bit uncertain that trip about, you know, what my place was. I was still absolutely welcomed. Everyone was delighted to see me. Like, it was all good, but there was just, I felt a little bit disjointed. And how could I not? I'd been gone for a year and a half when I'd never been absent from that family.
Well, that's another consideration too. The conversation of, will you move for me if I'm not happy here? And an expectation that you're going to pick up where you left off. You know, if you go back after 5-10 years, things would have been... You may not like it. Mm-hmm. You know, I know of people who emigrated and then they went back to their home country to see people and they realised they didn't like it anymore. So you may not like the country, you may not like the policies. It may be that the dynamics have changed. Probably friends who've now got married and had kids, and you know the life you leave isn't necessarily the one that you go back to. So that's something else I think that's worth considering.
The other thing on that note is when we do go back to visit, we're on vacation, so it's very easy to kind of glamorize what it's like. Of course, it's Southern California. The weather's beautiful. Everything is beautiful.
Yeah,
the people
are
friendly. We're not paying the taxes. We're not going to work, driving down the 405 every day. You know, like we're there. We're at my sister's beautiful house. She has a pool. We're off lunching and visiting family that we don't get to see in friends. And then we always make sure to have a day or two where we just go out and do some sightseeing so that you can enjoy the LA area. And, you know, because I guess just seeing people isn't quite as exciting for you as it is for me, understandably. And that's something to bear in mind that, you know, you go back and you think, oh God, this is so much better. It's like, yeah, you're on vacation. Like,
yeah,
it is amazing. Yeah.
Yeah.
If you moved back after all the red tape and paperwork, then it would still be everyday life. So that's something to bear in mind.
Yeah. So then we've also got episode 7, which was the realities of closing the distance. So
touches on all this a bit more.
Yeah. It goes into a bit more detail. And then there was also episode 9, which was the pain points that come with closing the distance. So this, I think, is a really important one because this email touches on this. I think we spoke about this in a recent episode too, that I think this often goes overlooked. If people don't necessarily talk about this or think about this, that you think about the pain points as being getting the visa, how do I get in, what are the travel restrictions, let's find somewhere to live. And those are all, you know, hurdles, but the pain points that come with it are more... But like what we're talking about here, like, you know, you're not going to see family. You're going to miss funerals and weddings and births and birthdays and all these other events and occasions that you'd normally be there for. You're going to be, well, like you said about your family, they'll be talking about something that you don't know the context for.
Mm.
You know, so there's all these sorts of events and happenings that you're probably going to see Facebook statuses about, and you're going to be on the edge of these things happening, and depending on your disposition, that could be quite upsetting.
Yeah,
and especially depending on your life here, you know, because you've said for the past 10 years that, you know, you haven't found it overly easy to make friends with people because you're a grown up now. You know, a lot of people you make friends when you're children and you stay friends, or you make friends at school and college and university and work to a degree, but the older you get, the kind of your friends are more and more locked in. So that's another pain point. You may find that you have an element of being lonely, or you have friends maybe you get on with, maybe you don't spend much time with them. So then it's easy to kind of have those rose tinted glasses of what everyone back home's doing, and you know, so there are these pain points, and it's very easy to be very you know, tunnel vision, like me and my partner, this is what we need to do, we're closing the distance, we're doing this, we're doing that. But there's an awful lot that goes on around that tunnel that also needs consideration. So this email and the questions are really important, and this level of thought, like you said before, is totally true, that you can't map everything out, you can't try and get all the answers. But I think it is crucial that before a move happens, these considerations are considered.
You just need to be aware of them. You don't need to worry about figuring them out, because I do think that tunnel vision and those blinders are a little bit necessary to get through it, because mm-hmm. otherwise you're going to what if yourself to death and you're going to talk yourself out of doing it. Like, there is a certain amount of blind faith in jumping into this, as long as you feel that the person is going to give you what you need once you're there.
Yeah, it just shouldn't be a shock that 6 months later, think, oh, I didn't realize this, I didn't think that I'm going to miss it. Just so be aware of them.
It's always, I don't know if it was a shock. I mean, I think right as it was, you know, I remember we did a little road trip right, like a week before we moved out here, and then went and spent the last week, like, with my family all together before we moved out, and it was like, I had a moment. I remember, like, we were in a hotel, like, near the Grand Canyon, and I was like, oh, shit, I'm terrified.
Mm.
And, like, you found me crying in the bathtub. You're like, what's going on? It's just all kind of hit me, like, and you're like, well, are you okay? I'm like, yeah, like, I want to do it. I've just suddenly realized what it means.
Yeah.
And then I remember, like, we left in June, and, like, one of the last days we were there was actually Father's Day. So we all went out, like, my brother, my sister, my niece, my parents and stuff. We all went out, and we went out for breakfast, and my niece was 3.5. And, you know, I was aware this is the last Father's Day I'm probably going to be here because, you know, England to West Coast America is a big trip. So we try to do it at holidays, like Christmas and stuff, when people are going to have time off and be able to spend more time with us. If you go in the middle of the summer, it's a little bit tricky because people are, like, still working and stuff like that. So I was aware of that. And then my niece starts singing. She's 3.5. She starts singing The Ants Go Marching One by One, which is my favorite childhood song. I just burst into tears at the table. And my brother saw. And my brother hadn't really thought about saying goodbye to me yet. He was worried more, like, about our mom and dad. And then he burst into tears at the table. And then everyone's like, what's going on? And, you know, like, it is hard, but, like, it's hard. I've had concerns. I don't know that I've had doubts. Like, I've never had a doubt about our relationship or Rich as a husband. But I'm glad I did it. And, you know, it's going to be hard. And what I would say to this person is, as long as you feel like this guy is really meaning what he says, and it sounds like she is, and he sounds really nice and great, really, just, as long as you don't 100%, like, not want to go, like, just give it a try. Like, it's probably going to be worth it.
If nothing else, you're going to have an experience.
Yeah, you're going to have an amazing experience. And most of the time, the best things in life don't come easy. So, and then the other thing I would touch on, too, is, you know, it sounds like she deals with anxiety, and this is not me in any way dismissing her feelings, because I live with anxiety too, and I had some serious issues when we were apart. Sometimes you have a wobble during a long distance relationship. You have a period where things just feel harder, or you're insecure about it, or you're just a little bit scared and unsure and need extra reassurance. That doesn't mean that you're changing your mind. And I think I used to, anytime I would kind of waver in my resolve, like, this is amazing, I'm going to do it for this guy, I would go, oh shit, do I not want this? Da, da, da. And, you know, I mean, we had that 2 or 3 times in the kind of year that we were really long, you know, long distance waiting to meet, or after we'd met and I'd gone back home. And there were periods where I just, you know, I think I was just overwhelmed by it. It is overwhelming. And I thought, oh my God, do I not feel strongly for this guy as I thought I did, or this or that? So I think, you know, just maybe give yourself some time and see if maybe you are just feeling a little bit overwhelmed by it all. You know, maybe you're not. Maybe you're actually concerned about it, and that's fine. But just don't pressure yourself to figure it all out right now, and just maybe see if these feelings pass a little bit. But it's probably going to be worth it for the, you know, if you guys have made it this long apart and you still really want to be together. I do think that, you know, the guy in this instance needs to maybe not promise. If he doesn't feel he can, people should never have to promise things that they're not willing to. But maybe just understand a little bit, if he doesn't already, you know, what this means, and how him saying, like, you know, I can't promise anything, can make her feel like, well, if I want this to work, I have to give up my life. That's not really fair. You know, you're both in different countries. You both chose to be in this relationship. Therefore, you both have a responsibility to make it work. So that's my 2 cents. And then there was one bit in the email that was kind of directed completely to me, and I may have already answered it, but I just want to read that part again to make sure. Okay, Andrea, did you ever feel this way? I know you said that it was kind of assumed you would go to England, and I feel that it's been this way for us too, but dang, it's scary. My therapist tells me I shouldn't worry about it if it doesn't work right now, but that's hard. You know, I'm in therapy trying to get help. Moving to another part of America doesn't scare me like this. I still get the anxiety about leaving my parents because of how much they remind me that they miss me when I'm gone. So maybe I'm scared it will never feel like home since a different culture and language. Okay, so a few things. Yes, I felt this way. Probably more after I got here than beforehand. I think I was just so gung-ho. We were going to get married. Like, we were engaged when we were getting ready to move. So, like, it was a little bit different. So I did feel that way, but after I got here. I was also in therapy at the time. And I don't even remember what they told me because I had so many thoughts going around my head. But I will say, like, moving to another part of America, like distance wise, like I think, so this person's like near the East Coast. Like if you moved to California, that's probably
similar.
It's probably, yeah. I mean, it might not be as far, but like in terms of distance, you're not much further if you're in Denmark. Like I haven't calculated the miles, but you're still
there far. Probably some logistical differences though, because it's international.
Yeah. Yeah. Obviously you have international and stuff, but like in terms of distance, distance is distance. If you're over 3 hours, I kind of see it as all the same, really. So, you know, I just, my parents, you know, my dad didn't really say much and my sister didn't say much. You know, my sister said, like, I remember I had a text from her, like when we got to the airport, when I was moving, we'd said goodbye at her house. And she said, like, I know I probably don't seem sad and I am, I'm going to miss you so much. I'm just so happy you guys get to be together. And, you know, that was really touching. And I wouldn't let people missing you affect the decisions that you make for your life. And that's what I've had to learn. My mom still, 3 out of the 5 times I talk to her, will say something about me moving back. And it's really hard. And it's got to the point where it doesn't make me anxious or insecure anymore. It makes me angry. Because I feel like, look how well I'm doing. Look how happy I am. It's been 10 damn years and you're still saying it. Like, just give it a rest. But you know what? Like, you're going to miss people through life. Like, we're never all going to live in the same place. Friends, siblings, parents, you know, like, you could meet a guy that lives in the same town as you. And then in 3 years, he has a job offer that he can't turn down because it's so amazing in another country. Like, you, well, just...
that's what happened to my cousin.
Yeah.
So my cousin, she married someone whose basically job puts him in charge of a huge part of Asia for the company. So they not only live in Asia, but they keep moving. So she's been in Singapore, she's currently in Thailand, yeah. She's been somewhere else.
There's Hong Kong, maybe?
Maybe there's the possibility, I mean, likelihood of him going to Australia. But, you know, that's, so she gave up her career. I mean, they've had kids out there, and then to make that worse, her mother, my aunt, gets really bad air sickness, so it's very difficult for her to go and travel. And so she had to make that trip when the first child was born, so she'll have to go out and you know, be there for that. But that wasn't a long distance relationship. They met and got together over here, and at some point he got that job offer. So life kind of just happens, and there's no guarantee that you could meet someone next door and
end up across the world together. Yeah. Like, you just don't know.
And with less time to prepare, because that's going to happen quickly. Whereas, you know, if you're in a long-distance relationship for any period of time, it kind of gives the parents and family time to at least process that information.
Yeah. And, you know, parents... kids don't stay at home. You know, people end up spread all over, whether you're military, whether you're, you know, whatever your career, it might take you really far afield, and it's expected, you know, like it's normal. And we have lots of friends here who have like moved to Australia and
yeah, I don't know what's going on.
Australia is really popular, but you know, like their parents, you know, you don't like, I don't know, I guess you just don't start out life thinking I'm going to end up destination this. Like, it just happens, like, life happens. That's the best way, like you said, it's the best way to say it. But, you know, just, I think what's happening with this person, there's a lot of thoughts in their head. You know, there was talking about, like, changing of career, maybe, I think, going back to school, potentially. And just remember that, like, you can figure all that out wherever you are. You know, like, you can be a student in Denmark, you can be a student in America, you can change, you like... life is the same wherever you go. And in terms of like the cultural difference, like I can't speak about Denmark. I've never been there. But the culture shock, I mean, there was culture shock for me here a little bit, even though we speak the same language, apparently. Like, I don't understand anything people are saying still after 10 years because of all the different sayings and like the lingo and stuff like that. There will be a little bit of culture shock, but I think Scandinavia is the same, but you know, I've found that people in Europe usually have a bit of understanding and can speak a bit of English. So, like, I wouldn't worry about, like, just being, like, you can't communicate with people, it'll be hard. But, hey, what a fun thing to, like, have to learn to speak Danish. Like, that's cool. Like, I think it sounds like an amazing experience. And having been through it, I know that this person can do it. But I also understand all the question marks and stuff. But I really think that you just have to be aware of all the concerns and worries, but not dwell on them too much. Just say like, yeah, but at some point I might need to get home. So I need to always have whatever $500 or $1,000 saved so I can get home, or I have an empty credit card that I can get on a flight in case I need to get home immediately. And just remember that this isn't a conversation you're going to have once with your partner, and you guys are both going to probably change your mind. You know, at one point he might want to move to America and you'd be like, no, I love Denmark. I don't want to go back. Like, you just can't figure it all out right now. I just think if you know this relationship is the priority and this is the person, then right now figure out how you guys can be in the same place. And that doesn't have to be forever. It can be for your year or your 2 years or whatever the visas allow. And just take it from there. Like, just enjoy this time. And that's the hard thing about long distances. All the logistics and all the worry can take away from the joy. And just try and protect that as much as you can. There's no real simple answer, but I think that's kind of the narrowest advice we can give.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, if anyone else has questions about this kind of thing, we're always happy to jump in and look at your situations and offer some advice. I think people benefit from that. And really good luck, and just enjoy each other and love each other, and you'll figure it out.
Definitely.
Anything else?
Nope.
All right, guys. See you next time.